From the Garden of Gethsemane last week to Journey in a Basket. Is that what we're talking about today, Mark?
That's right. Paul being let down in a basket out of the city of Damascus.
Yeah, we should get about an hour and a half for a Sunday school out of that.
I hope so.
Boy, that is really something. You're listening to Law and Gospel right now with Tom Baker. I'm the host normally, except when I'm not here. And Pastor Mark Smith, who is my co-host on Tuesdays. In fact, it was kind of interesting this week. I went out to a congregation in Illinois. And
great people out there in Illinois. I was ordained out in Illinois.
You were?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes they make mistakes, you know. And sometimes they don't, you know.
Yeah, St. John's Lutheran Church of Green Valley, Illinois.
Oh, I was in Freeburg, Illinois.
Uh-huh. Freeburg, sure.
Yeah.
You're always looking for things that are free. Free burgers is what you thought.
In fact, I can't believe it. I have three Sundays, and every city begins with an F. It's Fairfield, Fairfax, Freeburg. So I'm looking for a Chicago or something. Maybe I can find one. But good people out there. No, you're absolutely correct. Pastor Kazeman was gone, so he asked if I could preach for him and do the Bible study. We had quite a time. In fact, for the Bible study, I used the Garden of Gethsemane that we had done last week. Now, today is Tuesday, August the 9th, so that would have been for the... Oh, no, today's the 8th, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah, I got the wrong date on here. So on the 6th is what I was preaching on, the regular item, but then had a lot of fun in taking a look at the Garden of Gethsemane. Did you remember what we finally answered there in regard to Jesus, why he was asking that the cup be removed?
Yes, I do.
What was it?
You don't? Well, let's see, what was it now? I remember we talking about it. Now, let me see. Oh, it's coming to me.
We only have an hour. And the more I talk, the less it's going to come.
Come on, what was it? I remember it was a good answer.
I'll give you the hint. I'll give you the hint.
Give me a hint.
As soon as he gets to the garden, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death.
Oh, that's right. We had arrived at what we thought was the best conclusion, that Jesus was asking that the cup of suffering that he was enduring at that moment, there in the garden, he was exceedingly sorrowful unto death. And he was asking that he be relieved of that suffering then so that he would be ready to face the cross on the morrow.
Right. Yeah, well said. In fact, I really went into the Greek more so. And he even talks about, he complains to the disciples that they would not watch with him for just one hour.
Right.
Now, obviously, he's not talking therefore about the cross.
No, right.
So sometimes the word hour, when he says the hour has come, he's referring to the cross, but sometimes he means the very hour he's in.
Yes.
And that's why he wanted them to stay awake, you know, to comfort him. Of course, when they fell asleep.
For support.
How did the Father support him?
He sent an angel to strengthen him.
Exactly, yeah. And boy, does that ever solve a lot of problems.
Of course, it sure does.
I spent 40 minutes getting them confused. Going the wrong way.
At Freeburg?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'll bet. Yes.
I tell you.
And then heresy last Sunday. Huh? But
oh, I tell you.
Wait till Pastor Case. Is it Caseman?
Yeah.
Wait till he gets back.
I'm in Missouri. I'm safe. But, you know, your congregation, his congregation, you can really tell good people. It was just really interesting how devout they were in regard to the worship service. Nobody went up to the altar without bowing, for example.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, it was
genuflecting.
Yeah, it was just really something. And at the end, I usually, you know, shake hands, but I just put my ring out instead. Okay, so
they kissed your ring.
He's
huh?
got him well trained.
Well, he does have him well trained.
It was just a wonderful time. Okay. So, we're talking today about letting down in a basket, but this is an unfamiliar story to a number of people. So, do you want to just summarize it?
Well, this is after Paul's conversion experience. He's still at Damascus. Remember that it was it was on the way to Damascus that he was knocked to the ground by, you know, this voice out of the clouds, and,
yes,
and it's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "I am Jesus whom you persecuted." And he's struck with blindness, and Ananias is sent to him. He's taken into the city of Damascus, and Ananias, a Christian, baptizes him, and he regains his sight. And virtually, you know, practically immediately, I mean, he is convinced just overnight that this Jesus, of course, is the Christ, the Son of God. And he starts preaching that in the synagogues to the point where the Jews that were with him behind his movement to get these people, these members of the way, these Christians, to get them arrested, they were all angry now with Paul because he had, you know, he had turned.
Yes.
And he was preaching Christ in the synagogues, that Christ is indeed the Son of God. And so they were on the lookout for him. They were watching the gates and everything because they wanted to grab him whenever he left Damascus. And so they had to let him down in a large basket, I guess, on the wall, and that's how he got away. But you know, it's so interesting to see Paul, or Saul of Tarsus at
yes.
that time, to see him so quickly turn. You know, he is so adamantly convinced of the man that he had been persecuting, the movement that he had been persecuting, he is now convinced is the very Son of God.
Frankly, he talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14, where he talks about the others. Their minds were hardened, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, for Paul, that Jesus was the Messiah was the key to re-understanding all of the Scriptures.
Oh, yeah. And didn't he... You know, I was trying to find that passage. There's a passage somewhere in the New Testament where Paul recounts all of his journeys, and he talks about going into the wilderness of Arabia and really rethinking his whole theology. I mean, he had been steeped in Judaism all those years. He was an up-and-coming young rabbi. I mean, he was going to go places in Judaism, but now he had to rethink everything in light of Christ.
Which really shows the essence of KFUO Radio. If we're not talking in light of Christ, then it's really not worth the program.
That is right. That is right. If Christ is not, well, that's why Paul says, we want to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Now, occasionally we'll have programs that aren't dealing with theology, like we'll have a doctor on or something like that, you know, and maybe people can call in. No, he could be really on any station. If they're having problems, every now and then you hear this,
yeah,
where that they'll have a program where Christ really isn't part of it, but instead they're dealing with some issues of the day, health issues or things like
uh-huh,
that. But
uh-huh,
when we're talking theology,
yeah,
that's where Christ and Him alone, apart from Christ, that's what makes KFUO so unique, in that we're talking about Jesus all the time.
Yeah. He's in a world that doesn't often want to hear Him.
Well, because the world would be as surprised with the Emmaus walk with the disciples as those
right.
disciples were.
That's right.
Their hearts leapt within them when they started to realize that all the Bible verses, many of them they had memorized, like Psalm 22.
Yes.
It's just amazing to me. They would say Psalm 22 a number of times in the synagogue worship, and here's Jesus on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken? And nobody catches it.
Yeah.
You know?
It doesn't click.
No. Well, one of my good friends, who's not Lutheran, is Ken Bailey. I actually had the opportunity about, oh boy.
He's a friend of yours.
35 years ago. Well, I'll tell you how. He just so happened to get his doctorate from Dr. Martin Charlemagne.
Right, I remember that.
And I can almost see the house he lived in. I'm looking out the front window through our studio here over on San Benito. He lived on the second floor. And Jim Veltz and I, one of my fellow students and a wonderful professor today, We go over to his room, and I bring a tape recorder, and he would just sit there and tell all about the parables that he had learned.
Yeah, Poet and the Peasant. There was a book.
He's written books on it, but I have tapes of things he hasn't written yet.
No kidding.
Yeah. So that, what he was so good at, he, as a Presbyterian theologian and professor, was in Beirut, Lebanon, alone for 30 years, well as some places in Egypt. So he really got to know the cultural understanding. And he wrote things that were kind of new for his day,
yes.
But everybody just takes it for granted now. Like, for example, in the parable of the prodigal son, which is a wrong name,
yeah.
But anyway, the son says, divide the inheritance.
Yes.
And we all understand that to mean what?
Well, you know, divide the inheritance. But I remember him saying that, I'm going to steal your thunder a little bit. He said, what that saying is,
yeah.
I wish you were dead.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people know that now
because it's in his books.
It's in his books. And you see, if I went to my dad and said, you know, I know you're leaving something in the will, but I could use it right now, some of it. He's, oh, sure, I'll be glad to give you part of it. We'll just subtract it. In fact, my mother did that. At times when she loaned money, and then in the will, that amount was subtracted from what was equally done. But in the Near East, you don't get the will till the man dies.
You don't say that.
So when you say, divide the inheritance, you're saying, Dad, I wish you were dead.
And another thing I remember him saying is, men in that part of the country did not, older men did not run.
No.
And when the father ran down the path to sweep into his arms his son, that was just unheard of in that culture.
It was extremely humiliating.
Yes, right.
Which, of course, comes right out of Philippians, too. He humbled himself. The analogy I use is, when was the last time you saw Queen Elizabeth pick up her dress and run to her grandchildren?
Oh, I know.
Yeah, just thinking about it makes you laugh. You know, and that's how it was there. And then on some of the parables, like the friend at midnight comes and asks for some food, and the guy says, stop bothering me. That never happens, because there's such a neighborliness, you know, among the village
responsibility
people.
Responsibility to the guests.
And see, you can really get a new understanding there, because this is the guy who comes at midnight, and there's that one verse where, you know, he will not hear him, because he asked, but because of his, he will hear him.
Uh-huh.
And that word is really interesting there. Most translations have the idea of persistence.
Uh-huh.
You know, because the guy who's coming is persistent.
Yeah, he's persistent.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what's the word? You can't remember it?
Well, it's a Greek word. I don't recall, but I know exactly what it means. It means because of his embarrassment.
Oh.
In other words, it's not referring to the guy who's coming to ask for the bread. It's coming to the man in the house that if the word gets out...
That he doesn't help him,
yeah. He ruins his reputation.
Uh-huh.
And talk about that being God. Because in Ezekiel, God says, I'm not going to help you because I love you. I'm going to help you for my name's sake. Remember what he does to David and Bathsheba? After their sin?
The prophet Nathan said, God has also put away your sin.
That's right, but what happened to the baby?
The baby did die.
Why? For his name's sake.
For his name's sake.
He is not going to be mocked.
Uh-huh.
And that's really interesting.
That is.
That God, you know he's going to keep his word for his name's sake.
That's right. There is such a thing as justice. The justice has to be paid, but it's paid by his own son.
Yeah. Oh, boy, So, we just don't listen to Lutherans, you know, in order to... It's just, there's not that many.
Ken Bailey is a Presbyterian.
He's Presbyterian. He just really knows his items back and forth. And yet, we'll still disagree with him on the Lord's Supper, you know, that area.
Right.
And there's a couple of things I'd like to say. Like, for him, he really thought there were some parables Jesus isn't in at all. And
you disagree with
that. Oh, yeah. I think every parable is about how God is working in the... He says that the kingdom of heaven is like.
Well, which parable did he say that he wasn't in? I'd be curious to know.
Yeah, the
Are
one...
People want
well,
to know
the unjust it? Servant. Or the servant, you know, who makes
the deal
with everybody.
The poor steward, the unjust steward.
The unjust steward, yeah. He can't find Jesus anywhere in that one.
Oh, I think I can. I think he's in there. Yeah, sure.
Where?
You don't think he's in there?
No, I said where. I know he's in there.
Well, the time has come for him to turn in the books.
Yeah.
He's been unjust, and he's got to turn in the books. And what he does is he makes friends of all of his customers.
Yes.
And
okay, I'm still trying to find Jesus.
Okay. Well, help me find him.
Okay. In my opinion, a parable is never talking about what it's talking about. So if it's talking about going fishing, it's not talking about fishing. If it's talking about agriculture, sowing seed, it's not talking about that. If it's talking about money, it's never talking about money. So that's the first thing. So this destroys all evangelicals who think every parable has principles of life we are to follow.
Right. No, I agree with that.
No,
too.
No. That's just, okay. Right. So I also believe that the main character is always Jesus.
Right. Okay. I'd say the owner.
No.
The owner
the main
tells him it's time to turn in the books, just like our Lord knows the length of our life. You don't think that's him?
No. The main character is the unjust steward.
Oh, now I'm going to learn something.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is my opinion.
The main character is the unjust steward that's got to turn in the books. And what? Can you give me the reference of this real quick so people can look this up if they want to?
No. Okay. I'm just going to say, because we got to get back
okay,
to
go ahead.
But it's in Luke. The fact of the matter is the Greek is pretty clear that he is accused of being unjust. It doesn't say he is unjust.
Oh.
He's accused of being unjust.
Okay.
And then he balances the books in such a way that the people who don't deserve it get off from pain.
That's right.
Now, who in New Testament times was considered as really being unjust? Hated men.
Christ. Yes.
You know, he said to the religious leaders of the day, your father's the devil. Uh-huh. He was unjust. He was forgiving people who don't deserve it. Mm-hmm. He was also, what was the other point that I always like to make about Jesus? Oh, he was always breaking the religious laws, eating wheat and corn and things like that. But here was a man who was certainly welcomed into their house because by grace they got out of the debt.
That's right, yeah.
It is.
That's interesting.
I borrow that from an Episcopalian priest. Believe it or not, he's written 8 books on parables.
Really?
Yeah. He's very liberal when it comes to historical critical stuff, but he just seems to have a very good mind, in my opinion, when it comes to that. But, our phone numbers here are 505-7850 or
1-800-730-2727.
And we'll talk to Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi there. I'd like for you to explain Matthew chapter 17, verses 24. In the title there, it says, the miracle of the tribute money from the mouth of a fish.
Oh, that's a great story.
Okay.
That's a great fish story. I wanted to share that with one of my buddies, the big fisherman, fisherman.
Okay.
And he couldn't believe that story was in the Bible.
I agree.
That's the temple tax, remember?
Right.
I think there's a temple tax.
Okay.
And Jesus asked his disciples, hey, is it right that I should have to pay the temple tax? And I guess, I'm not looking at the story. I'm going by memory right now. He tells Peter, go on down to, have you found it, Tom?
Yeah. From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their own sons or from strangers? Peter said, from strangers. Then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, take the fish that comes up first, and when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and for you. And the amount is a stater, which was the amount of a temple tax, in fact.
Temple tax.
But now, what was your specific question then, Jen?
How did a coin get in the fish?
No problem.
I will. I know God does anything.
No. I will answer that if you answer my question. Are you ready?
I'm trying.
How did Jonah get in the big fish?
Oh.
Thank you, Jen.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, the amazing thing is that Jesus in his omniscience, all-knowingness. Don't forget, Tom. He knows everything. And he knew enough to tell Peter, go down, and the first fish you pull out will have a coin in its mouth.
Uh-huh. Sometimes he knew everything. Other times he didn't.
Well, I agree with that. He did not always use his. That's always had access to his omniscience, but he didn't always use it.
Yeah,
but he did then.
Well, you know, it's kind of like, in fact, I mentioned this in the Bible study Sunday. How many times have you had a prayer? Like one time I was short on money. I was wondering, where am I going to get this money? And that day the mailman came and there was some money in there I wasn't expecting. I can't remember why I got it or whatever it was. Maybe a rebate or something.
Yeah, but you never predicted that.
No, but God did. No,
well,
it's the same thing.
Sure.
I'm Peter. I'm not Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm.
All right.
Where do we get the money? And so God already had it being delivered before I even thought
I
needed
right.
it.
That's right. Oh, yeah. He answers prayers before we even finish off praying sometimes.
Or before we know it.
Yes. Sure.
So, yeah, you just...
It's a great story.
Yeah, it really is. And it really has something to do with the two kingdoms, too, is that even though Jesus is head of the church, he still has his responsibilities to pay.
Right.
When we built a, and you did also, built additions to your church,
sure.
You didn't go to, where are you, Crestwood?
Right.
Yeah, you didn't go to Crestwood and say, by the way, we're a non-profit and God is watching us. We don't have to follow the plans.
We don't have to follow the plans or zoning laws.
No,
we want to be good citizens, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what Jesus was, you know, he was... Didn't want to offend any of those people.
Yes, and so we need to pay our taxes. So,
even though I think he made the point with his disciples that, you know, technically he is the Son of God and everything belongs to him, technically he does not really have to pay the tax, but he was going to pay it regardless.
Now, this, by the way, wasn't the Roman tax. This
no,
was
the temple
tax, you know, that was due. And although there was another temple tax he really spoke out against, remember? Corban?
Yes, Corban. Corban, that was the practice of instead of taking care of your elderly parents, you could declare all your money, say, no, that's declared for the temple.
Yes.
Therefore, I'm removed of that responsibility toward my parents.
Yes.
Yeah, it was just, you know, I mean, you can't do that. I mean, and Jesus was, very critical of that.
I actually criticized one of my members for doing that.
Oh yeah, people do that today when they say, "Well, we'll just let our parents become a ward of the state."
Well, no, not just that. I was actually talking about giving money to the church. The family had made a pledge.
Uh huh.
Then he lost his job, and he started borrowing money to keep the pledge and not taking care of his kids properly.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's, yeah.
See, right. Another example.
Gotta take care of your family.
And I said, I don't know, let's say he agreed $50 a week and he couldn't afford it. I said, when you give that $50 a week to the church, you're sinning.
Mm. Yeah.
Because...
even though he maybe had good intentions.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, right.
I have never sinned without good intentions. Have you?
Oh. You've never sinned without good intentions.
No, every time I sin, I think I'm doing it for a right reason. I'm going over the speed limit so that I get to KFUO and I'm not late.
Uh-huh, right.
That's a good intention.
Well, sometimes it's selfish intention.
No, it's always a selfish intention, but it's always a good intention.
I got you. Sure.
If we ever don't have a good intention in sinning, we don't sin.
That's right. I suppose so.
Yeah, if you stop and think about it, you always have a better reason to do it than God's reason not to do it, or else we wouldn't do it. You know, we're at a point where we simply cannot help ourselves. Well, we haven't really said much about the basket.
That's right.
and,
but we had good intentions, didn't we?
But we weren't sinning because we got into other areas. And Jan, a new caller, had a great question on coining a fish. But when we get back, we're going to start talking about the basket. And do you know what kind of basket it was?
Well, it had to be a huge basket for him to be lowered in.
Yeah, although...
Is it like a trash basket?
All the photos I've seen of Paul, he's pretty
garbage,
short.
Garbage, maybe? Letting it down out of the... over the wall? I would imagine it'd be maybe garbage.
All right. We'll talk about that when we get back from the break.
The Bible is a source of truth. And those who are engaged in that pursuit of truth are well served to study the Bible, to learn what it offers. That's what happens on the Bible Study program on KFUO Radio. Hear the magnificent teachings that are revealed as we take in its word. Participate if you like, or just listen to the Bible Study and Ask the Pastor programs.
Exclusively underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, on KFUO Radio.
Coming soon is the 21st Annual Golf for Kids Tournament and Auction benefiting the Mid-County YMCA. It will be held on Monday, August 22nd at Norwood Hills Country Club. The club features two 18-hole championship courses, both of which will be open to participants. It's an 18-hole scramble with lunch, refreshments, gifts, and other contests, including a hole-in-one, closest to the pin, and longest drive. For information, contact Mid-County YMCA.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. Dr. Ravi Zacharias explains the nature of passion and self-control.
You and I are given the privilege by God to train our appetites. And I'm talking now about the passions. Most people, long gone into the wrong side of life, have trained their appetite with ideas and decisions that have restructured within their own minds what it is they think they need. And by redefining what it is they think they need, they end up hungering for the wrong things, and those wrong things end up ultimately devouring them. Your passion, your appetite is a gift from God, as mine is, and we are given the privilege of training that appetite and disciplining that appetite.
Learn more at focusonthefamily.com/faith.
I see a great need in my community.
So Richard Washington set out to meet that need by working with youth in the juvenile justice system, joining thousands of other volunteers. If you're 55 and older, you can use the skills that help you through a lifetime of learning, giving, teaching, and working. Go to getinvolved.gov or call 1-800-424-8867 to find out how you can volunteer, impact your community, and make our country stronger.
Retired people have a lot to offer because we have life experience.
What are you going to do with your lifetime of experience? Go to getinvolved.gov today or call 1-800-424-8867. We have so much to offer, and our nation needs us. Make a difference for generations.
Tom Baker and Mark Smith back on Law and Gospel on this Tuesday, August the 8th, as we're talking about letting down in a basket. And we've had some calls. If you would like to call in the St. Louis area, 505-7850, and anywhere in North America,
1-800-730-2727.
And that's the pleasant voice of Pastor Mark Smith. And in case we don't have time, where's your church?
Prince of Peace Lutheran Church of Crestwood is out just south of the Watson and New Sappington Road intersection, out in Crestwood.
And services Saturday and Sunday?
Saturday, we have a 5 o'clock service, 5 in the evening. And Sunday, our service is at 9 a.m., followed by Bible class and Sunday school.
Last week, we talked about where I was really bothered by Jesus talking about, take this cup away from me. And by the way, it's in the imperative. I looked that up, too. And there were no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So we came up with what we think is a pretty good answer, that the cup is his impending death in the garden, which would have messed everything up.
Sorrowful to the point of death.
Yeah, and in fact, it was like in the temptations he had in the wilderness. He needed to be strengthened there.
By the angels.
So what bothers me here with this one?
With the basket?
Yes. What would you think? Anything?
Paul is... What are you thinking? That that Paul is running away, or...
Very good.
Is that it? Is that what's bothering you here?
Well...
we're not to actually seek persecution. I mean, in fact, aren't Christians told if they persecute you, flee to the next? That's how the church spreads, right? Is there anything wrong with that?
And also cast the dust off your feet.
That's right.
Yeah, kind of thing.
Why does this bother you, Tom?
Because there are some pastors who would use that to leave their congregation just because they have some difficult situations.
Well, no, but Paul was not called here as a pastor.
Well, sometimes pastors should leave their congregations.
Right.
Yeah. But I found out the first time I ever read this, Jesus never fled, did he?
No. Wait a minute. I'm trying to think.
Nazareth.
Oh, that's right. They wanted to throw him over the cliff.
He just walked through.
And he just walked right through him.
Yeah.
That's right. Just walked right through him.
Yeah.
They couldn't grab him.
No, they couldn't. I would love to see how you would film that one.
I know.
You know.
I know. You just...
Now remember, on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him either.
That's
so
right.
Something
they
that
did
happened.
Not recognize him.
And it sounds like it was
his
really...
time had not yet come yet.
No, that was for sure. So I kind of find that interesting, though. They watched the gates day and night to kill Paul, and the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. Okay, why didn't God do that for Stephen?
Why didn't God give Stephen a way of... Well, he was ready to take him to himself. The time was ready. You know, didn't Stephen say, "I see the heavens open"?
Yes.
And,
No.
And God was ready to receive him.
How do you know when
obviously,
should escape, and how do you know when God's ready to receive you? A lot of Christians
I don't know if that's
died.
Always clear.
No,
I don't know if that's always clear to us.
I think you're right.
I think for me, I would always try to escape. unless God makes it very clear to me, and I think sometimes he does, unless there's just no way you can back off. You've got to, we that old expression, I would die on this bridge rather than back down. You
yes.
know what I mean? And I think sometimes that's evident where you choose to take a stand. Luther, you know, he knew his life was in danger. And yet he did not back down.
Let me use this verse in two areas. I've given a lot of thought to this. And I'm planning on doing a whole hour on it later. But let me do the first simple area of conversation that a lot of people might use a verse like this not to participate. You've been at Thanksgiving meals with others?
Oh, sure.
Friends, relatives.
Yes.
What are the two things you don't talk about?
Politics and religion, although that's not with us because
we
talk about both those things.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
But people always say, oh, no.
Because nobody comes to your meal, so it's just you and your wife.
Right, don't talk.
Okay.
No, it's not that. Well, let me tell you, we have had some theological discussions at our family gatherings, absolutely.
Yes, particularly if you have members of the family that aren't Christian, or they've got this great commercial where it's a date, and they come to the girl's apartment after the date. And she says, well, I invite you in, but I need to know a little bit more about you. And he says, well, I'm an athlete, and this and this and that. And she says, what else? And he says, I'm a Republican. And she slams the door in his face.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. It's on television right now.
No kidding.
And, he doesn't quite.
Well, I didn't know.
She says, why are you Republican? And he says, you know, well, because I'm older. And she says, what does that mean? He says, well, I've discovered that people who are Democrats, by the time they hit 25, they've wisened up and understand that they were wrong.
Uh-huh.
And she looks at him and says, I'm 26. That's the end of the date.
It's the end of the date. He didn't need her.
No. But you know, it's really interesting when we sit here and give advice to people. You made a really good point that it's not always clear which way to go. So even though we're Lutheran radio, Lutheranism doesn't have a stance on every casuistry question.
That's right.
You know, sometimes you would escape, sometimes you wouldn't. The other thing is, even when we give advice, people really mishear it.
Give me an example.
Yeah, the psychologist was meeting with a couple, and they were really having a hard time in marriage. And the wife is just one thing after the other against the husband. He's just sitting there, uh-huh. You know. Finally, the psychologist gets up and asks the wife to stand up. And she does, and he goes over to her, the psychologist, and gives her a long, passionate kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really surprised, and she sits down speechless. And the psychologist looks at the husband. He says, you know, your wife needs that 3 times a week. Can you do that? And the husband says, well, I can get her here Monday and Wednesdays, but Friday I go golfing. Friday I go golfing again.
He just didn't get it.
No, but it's amazing how many times Jesus would give, you know, please stay and watch with me.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak.
That's a really good verse to bring into that one. But do we open up conversations in situations like that at Thanksgiving? Or knowing that it could really lead to rancor because of past experience, do we keep quiet? What would Jesus do?
I'm trying to think of instances when he was at a dinner.
Oh, I tell you, the tax collector Pharisee sure didn't appreciate what he had to say.
Oh, remember that?
Yeah,
a woman comes in and starts washing his feet and kissing his feet, didn't she?
Yeah.
And drying them with the tresses of her hair.
This is not done in that day.
Yeah, and Simon, the Pharisee, is belittling her, and Jesus.
Well, here's where
Jesus tells the host.
Yeah. Here's where I come down. Pastors who refrain from speaking the clear word of God in the areas of morality where the Bible speaks,
right?
I think are cowards.
Right, I agree with you.
Yeah,
you've got to speak out.
And I've talked to a number of them, and they'll say things like, "Well, I don't want to divide the congregation," you know. Well, Jesus had no problem. That never stopped him from saying something that he would divide the disciples, even to the point where he looked at Peter. But can you think of an instance where Jesus didn't say something because of the circumstances?
No, I really can't.
The one that comes to my mind is when Pontius Pilate is trying to get him to answer, and he won't.
Right. Well, he's speaking for himself. He's not going to speak for himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to get in the way of...
But see, that's a principle can think about, is that I found pastors tend to defend themselves.
Yes, oh yes.
So that you end up a thin-skinned pastor.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult for him if things go wrong. You've sat in pastor meetings, and everybody's going to talk about what's going on at their church, and it's all positive. I mean, when's the last time you heard, well, we have over 40% that don't come every Sunday. We just had to excommunicate 3 people. We don't have enough money. No, nobody hardly ever says that stuff unless they've really hit the bottom. And then sometimes, the most times I've heard it is when a pastor becomes ill, seriously. He'll let other fellow pastors know about that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very difficult with other pastors to humble oneself and not brag about what's going on. But here, Jesus never did that. We got a phone call. Numbers here are 505-7850 or
1-800-730-2727.
Let's go speak with Frank. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Pastor.
Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something quick. I always defend the faith. And so you want to get enough head knowledge, too, to understand what you believe and why you believe it.
Yes.
And so I talked to a variety of people, most of whom are not Lutheran in their religious persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a woman I consider a friend, and we've talked a lot on and off. But the real dividing thing came up the other day, and I just saw her earlier today on the subject of infant baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And like I told her, I said, well, iron sharpens iron, and I went back and I looked over all my study notes and reference sources to refamiliarize myself with the biblical and Lutheran topic on this. And there's one of the most excellent treatises I've read is by on the subject of infant baptism is by Urus Sarnavara.
Yes.
You heard of that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
S-A-A. I can't even remember how to spell the rest. It's a...
Yes.
That's all right.
S-A-A-R-N-I-V-A-A-R-A. But anyways...
Infant baptism. He wrote something on infant baptism.
Yeah.
Yeah, excellent points in that book. And I had just went back and refamiliarized myself, and I saw it today, and I told her, you're aware, like in the gospel accounts where Jesus encourages the little children to come unto him.
For such is the kingdom of God, yes.
Yeah, and as in the Sarnavaria treatise makes out, the children in the Greek is brephe, which means newborn
right.
babes.
Suckling
They're
infants.
Tiny infants.
Yeah. Suckling infants.
And of course
infants.
He says, such is the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
Unless you believe in them, you can't enter the kingdom. And then her response was, just like Pastor Mark Smith said, don't bring up religion or politics at the family meal. Her
yeah.
response was, I'm not... You think that you know, I'm never going to change my position?
Yeah.
I said, exactly. I'm just giving you some input for your information. And I said, also consider this. When I looked, most church bodies baptize infants.
Right.
I said, it's only a few in the American experience that do not.
Correct.
And I said, I just wanted to make you aware of some of these things so that you could think about them and perhaps we could have another conversation some other
Excellent.
Time.
Excellent.
Good for you.
But people get very angry.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And like the Sarnavaria thing says, and you've said this many times, Pastor Baker, when push comes, in the Lutheran ways, when push comes to shove, you always go with what Scripture says, rather than your human intellect and reason. And, of course, this is a perfect example of that, because it doesn't make any sense to me either. You know, but Jesus said that, I said that your car's color is blue. If Jesus said it's pink, who would be right? And that made her angry, and so I kind of backed off at that point. But that's the point we reached. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for calling. And once more, he makes an excellent point that, you know, sometimes you can't take the basket and go down the wall.
That's right. You got to take your stand.
You've got to take a stand.
That's right.
And
for the sake of that infant... Whose soul is in the balance.
Really, I give credit to Sunday school teachers. This is a really a tough one to get across to kids. But if you can set up this principle, is that, you know, sometimes you want to witness, other times it's just not appropriate.
Yeah.
For example, if you're working at FedEx and every day you come in, you stand on your desk and give a 10-minute sermon about Jesus, you're going to get fired.
Right.
And rightly so.
Right.
So there's a right time and a bad time. But here's the thing I really want to bring up right now that we're going to have to deal with as pastors and laity. This is the whole thing about homosexual marriage,
yeah,
etc.
It's coming.
And what I'm thinking of specifically, I was just talking to an individual who could get fired, he told me, if in his office he gave the impression that was an abomination, that kind of lifestyle, because there are people in his office who are living that.
Right.
And so it just so happened his daughter has a real good friend who's homosexual and comes over to the house a lot.
Yeah, well,
and
there's an opportunity there.
But he never uses it because he doesn't want to get his daughter mad at him.
I see.
You know, and you just can't say... You don't want to get your daughter mad because he's talking to his daughter privately.
No, you want to be winsome and tactful too, you know.
Well, I'm trying to remember how many times Jesus was. He just used the opportunity, you know, to speak.
Well, you know the old expression. Do you want to hit him over the head with the Book of Concord? No.
Book of Concord is the Confessions of the Lutheran Church.
But you know, there you try to be winsome as much as that's possible. I mean, finally you finally have to let the chips fall where they may, and if they don't like it, they don't like it. But
you know, in
there's no reason to make an enemy right off the bat. Let them give them an opportunity to hear out the Scriptures first. Don't you agree? Rather than just
the very fact that you would even, I am being told by this gentleman that in his place of work, to bring the subject up, even for the point of negating it, you can be fired.
Uh-huh.
Because, especially like now in New York, where they have the right to be married like this, it would be like, stop and think about it, because they're trying to tie this in, too, with the racial movement.
Yes.
Where there, somebody is born mm-hmm. with a certain color of skin.
Sure.
And that definitely is racism. But when we're dealing with a behavior mm-hmm. problem, and it's kind of interesting, they can never be consistent. If they say, well, you know, I was born this way, and that's the way God wanted me, how can you be against that? And then you point to all the people who are born who love committing adultery or who are violent
or liars.
Or have tempers or liars.
Or they like to take things from other people.
And
we're all born that way.
The law doesn't say, well, because you were born that way, then you can get off. This is going to be really interesting, and I don't think we in the church are giving enough advice as to how to handle situations like this.
I think it is going to be more difficult as time goes on.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be
you
I
go
think it's
to Christmas
tougher to
parties,
take a stand.
And there you've got people you work with who are now holding hands with people of the same sex because they brought their wife or husband along.
Right.
Well,
you're already being faced with situations all the time where people will come in and tell you, what do I do? My relatives are coming over. They're living together. They're not married.
Yeah.
How should I handle that? Should I welcome them into the house? Should I put them up in a motel? You know, that's coming around all the time.
Yeah, I think that's pretty clear. I never had to go through this, but if my children were coming over with a girlfriend or boyfriend and wanted to sleep with them, no, there's no way.
No way.
No. You can come visit at the house and such, but you'll have separate bedrooms. Mm.
We'll talk about
so
the
forth.
Sixth Commandment the whole time, too, right?
Yeah. I am not at all happy, particularly with churches that are now considering it a sin to bring this up.
Against
homosexuality.
Yes.
That you're the one now sinning.
Oh, I know.
That's how the devil... In fact, we're getting very close to the day of the judges. Remember that last verse?
Where everyone did what was right in their own eyes.
Yeah, that's right. Everyone did
in
what
their
was,
own eyes.
Yeah, and then God called an end. And there's the Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity, the Roman captivity... And how many more? There's no country that gets through it after a period of time. Because God's judgment, because of the internal consequences he set up in this world, they just come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the ways we can talk about this is that when people start living a lifestyle contrary to the will of God, you're going to have an increase of disruption of things as well as suicide. I expect more homosexuals will commit suicide now because they still can't go against their conscience. And it'll come back and bother them. Plus, there will never be a time when the Christian church will okay this. Any more that there's been a time since, say, the Roman church have okayed women ordination.
Right.
You know, all those women who are ordained, that's contrary to the will of God. And we're never going to change our mind on that. And I will not participate in a service or even attend one if it's a woman preaching. I definitely walk out. And because of the relatives we have...
It's a little difficult, I imagine.
Yeah, it's a little bit difficult, but nothing compared to what Jesus went through.
Right.
So I'm reading this story about Paul, and he gets let down in the basket... And I think you really made the good point that God has another direction for him to go. There's that other verse that when they reject you, you kick the dust off your feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod have missionaries all throughout the world. But we don't hardly have any in Saudi Arabia. Because it's not only against the law to proselytize, but even to give out a Bible.
Yeah.
And I remember having a discussion with some Christians, they weren't Lutheran, but they were trying to sneak Bibles into Saudi Arabia. Well, what do you think of that?
Well, I've heard different views on that. Some people feel like, oh, you got to do it, you got to do it. I remember one of our professors saying, you know, they're the law of the land.
Yeah.
Forbids you to go in there, and you.
Well, on the other,
you know, the
hand,
door's not open. What do you think on that? I mean, is the door not open for us to go in there? And
who was
or
it?
Do you?
Saul and Silas were told not to preach, and no, we obey God rather than men.
Yes.
So you have that verse there.
But they wanted to go. Remember, they wanted to go into Asia Minor.
Yes.
And were forbidden to do so. So they went instead into Europe.
Yeah. No.
There's sometimes the door. God opens doors elsewhere and closes them some other place.
Well, God, you just can't figure him out.
No.
I had a classmate of mine. And
you just can't figure God out. That's a profound statement there, Tom.
Well, that's why most of what
we can figure God out, we're in trouble.
And we're not preaching Christianity either.
Right.
Yeah. That's why most of the things you should be hearing on KFUO is really nonsense from a regular human point of view.
Clarify that.
Well, for example,
people are going to raise their eyebrows over that statement.
Yeah,
explain what you mean.
One and one and one equals one. One Father, one Son, one Holy Spirit equals one God.
Okay.
You are 100% a sinner. And you are 100% a saint.
You're right.
I mean, get serious.
Yes.
Who believes this stuff? Oh, Jesus, is he human or divine?
We believe it.
What do you say?
We believe it.
Yes.
Even though it doesn't always make sense.
It never makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. Because we believe through faith becomes the evidence of things not seen. But, for example, I remember this classmate, gone through the seminary, get ordained. He was returning to start becoming pastor and got killed in a car accident on the way to his church.
Yes,
and
I've heard a story
I just
like that.
Never could understand, you know, 4, 5, 6 years in training for all this.
Yes.
And then that happens. That's what I meant, that you can't figure God out.
No.
No. You think, boy, I'm really going to be safe now. But there never is a time that you're not safe from his point of view. It's just that you often can't figure it out. So for the kids, I would say, you know, there'll be times when, you know, it won't be the right time to say something about Jesus. And there'll be times when you should, when you don't want to. So it's both law and gospel.
That's
but
good.
The fact
That's that, right.
Yeah.
There'll be times. There are times when you can't.
That's right.
You just can't. There are times when you won't want to, and yet you know you should.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is that I will never leave you nor
forsake you.
Yeah. See, that's the promise.
Yeah.
That's there. If that could come out of the Sunday school lesson, when Paul was escaping from preaching the word, he was doing the will of God. Mm-hmm. Because God had led the people to do this rather than he. You said it really well earlier. It wasn't time for Paul to die. You know, God had something else in store for him. And, of course, we found out what that is. Not that Paul wouldn't die. How did he finally die?
Well, he was decapitated.
Yeah, yeah.
In Rome.
Right.
Died a martyr's death.
So, you going to be here next Tuesday?
Planning on it.
Yes. I was going to say this to the end, and I'll tell you about it, because I had gone to see Pastor Cum about this, is I got an email from an individual who said that you, Tom, and Mark should take your show on the road. Really? It was Illinois people. So.
Illinois, good old Illinois people. They're great people out there.
So,
and Missouri, too, right?
Yeah, so I've been thinking about some things. I'll talk to you afterwards about what we might be able to do here. In the meantime, I'm Tom Baker, Pastor Mark Smith. Thank you so much for listening. And until tomorrow, we're going to be talking about marketing. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel weekdays at 3 p.m. on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.